sit down. That's about all he gave me. I just gave it all, Brother Taylor.
Sir?
I just gave everything he gave me.
Just gave it? I didn't do something like that.
I can't really get started. I hold on a second.
Your friend is missing.
I've missed my friend. I missed him. Brother John must have thought he was going to get rid of it and avoid the silliness, but I brought plenty of silliness with me.
Come on.
Amen. Well, it's good to be at Black Creek. It truly is.
Don't think your mic's
on. I'll turn it on.
Did you leave the...
I forgot, Brother Taylor.
Okay. There we go.
That's right. How about that?
There we go.
Might be better off if I leave it off, but it is good to be here. Eric asked me a while ago, he said, who do you look forward to seeing the most? And of course, you know, Brother John comes to my mind, but you can ask my wife sitting there. I look more forward to seeing Naomi and Jonathan and Josiah and these little girls sitting over here on the front row. I look forward to seeing them when I get to New York. Amen. I miss them till I get here. And I appreciate everybody. I truly do. And your hospitality, your warm welcomes and everything, it's just so good. I told my son coming up, I said, son, you just watch the warmth that these people give us. And it's good to be able to come to a place where people do know how to communicate and talk. You know, you don't feel like an outcast or maybe the weirdo that you are when you get here. So, I've been wrestling a lot about what to preach. I mean, seriously, just been wrestling and been praying for this meeting, and I just want the mind of God. I truly am a family man. I believe in the family. I love the family unit, and I love husband and wife and children and the grandchildren. I just love all that. I love the home. But I didn't have but one of those outlines on marriage, and Brother Ron Williamson borrowed it from me this morning. So I won't be preaching that. So amen. Hey, I couldn't have done that good with it anyway. Let's go to Ruth chapter 1, please. Ruth chapter 1. I got sick of everybody bragging on Brother Ron Williams. I said, my goodness, you know, how many times they gonna brag on him? I want to go praise myself. So, man, I said, it's my outline. Amen. Brother Ron Williams, we do thank God for you. Thank God for that good message and everything that we get. And if you'll listen tonight very fast, I want to be quick. I'm well aware of the time. And I used to go to church all night long. We used to have the Land of the Sky Jubilee back when it was good. And it just went 24 hours a day for 3 days. And you get sleepy, you can go downstairs and grab you a cot and go to sleep. And they had food downstairs. But they just preached around the clock for 3 days. And I appreciate that, them memories and that heritage. But I want to be sensitive to the time. And somebody already fell out. I hadn't even done my thing yet. And people's already falling. Amen. It's good to come here and say something that ain't funny and y'all laugh. I say something to Michael and them at home and they just look at me like I'm an idiot. So I kind of enjoy it. Amen. Man, they've been around my wife talking to her too long. They know the real me. Ruth chapter 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi. And the name of his two sons was Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. Now let's just let me stop and say something right there, and I don't want to bear down. But I seen the spear up here, and I heard Brother Donnie preach, and I'm kind of sad that the spear's still here. I really am. Broke my heart when I walked in last night and seen the spear sitting up here. I thought there might be a man in the crowd that might have picked it up, but as I was listening to these services online, I got to be honest, if Ruth would have had that in Moab, they probably would have been a first and second Ruth. She never had what we had. You've already got, ladies and gentlemen, more than what she ever got in the land of Moab until her in-laws came to town. She never heard this kind of preaching, but yet she still made the choice that she was going to go with God and God's people. Amen. Isn't that amazing? And yet we can sit here underneath the gospel all of our life, and a spear can sit around in the church and just kind of, you know, be flippant and forgotten. And it's a shame. It really is. It's a shame. It's disheartening. But I thank God for Ruth here, and I don't want to really talk about her. And it says, and the other was Ruth, and they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died, also both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Now, flip back one more time, if you will, to the Judges 21, and we'll read the last verse in Judges 21. The Bible says, in those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And this verse clearly tells us that there was a famine in the land, and why there was a famine in the land. There was a famine in the land simply because every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Not right in the eyes of God, not right in the laws of God, but right according to what man thought was right. And so God allowed a famine to enter into the land to hopefully drive these people to repentance. A famine is what I consider the goodness of God. Anything short of hell is the goodness of God.
Amen.
Amen. Man, I look across our land today, and I don't want to chase rabbits. But I look across our land today, and I do get mad, but I have to draw that stuff back and go, what's going on in the streets of America is my fault as a child of God. As a Bible believer, because of my lukewarmness and my carnality and the wickedness. And do you understand the wickedness is just prevailing in the street? Not because those people are just wicked, not just because George Soros has got a lot of money to bust people in, but it's because of people just like you and I sitting on the pews of American churches that couldn't care less about the things of God, or turning back to God, and where carnality rules our lives, and lukewarmness is settled in, and yet we like to turn on Fox News, and God forbid if we turn on CNN, but we like to turn on Fox News and get mad at the crowds when we ought to turn and go stand in the mirror and say, woe is me, woe is me, I'm undone, I'm unclean, they're there because of me.
Right. Amen.
They're there because we won't repent. They're there because we refuse to get right with God. And it's the goodness of God, ladies and gentlemen, that ought to stir us up just enough to go, I got to get to God.
Amen. Yes, amen. Come on.
I got to get to God. And I asked my congregation a week ago, I said, what's it going to take for us? What's it going to take? It was a famine in the land. It's because man's ways aren't God's ways. Man was doing what was right in his own eyes. We understand, as I told my congregation, that famines was designed to lead men to repentance in your Bible.
Right. Yes.
We still see famine today. A famine of obedience, huh? I mean, you know, come on. It's just a famine of obedience, a famine of, hey, a famine of walking in the Holy Ghost. How about that?
Yes, I said,
a famine of being full of the Holy Ghost. A famine of being spirit-filled and being sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Instead of worrying about me and mine, what about the Holy Ghost? What about what He wants? What about His voice? What about that direction? What about where He leads? What about what He says? What's the Holy Ghost asking of us?
Right? Come on now.
God's made it abundantly clear that if His people would repent, He would heal their land. I believe the farmers would see crops growing like never before if people would repent. I believe we could save money on fertilizer and herbicide and fungicides, and I just believe that way. That's my God. You understand? He said He would heal this thing, friend. If His people, which were called by His name, shall humble themselves and pray and turn and turn and turn, turn from your wicked ways. God said, then I'll hear from heaven. Then I'll heal your land. I might do something if you'll do something. The ball ain't in God's corner, it's in our corner. He's also made it abundantly clear that if a sinner would repent, believe, that God is willing and ready to save sinners. Right. God is ready and willing to save the vilest sinner.
Yes. Amen.
But man has made it abundantly clear that we lack darkness rather than light because our deeds are evil. We've made it abundantly clear to God that we are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. I'm not preaching at you, I'm preaching for you. And the Lord preached it to me first, you understand?
Amen.
Because I get caught up in the pleasures of this world, and I get caught up in the things of this world. And every once in a while, yes, man, you do get distracted, and you will get your eyes off the Lord. And this whole world will captivate you. It will knock you off your game, or whatever you want to call it. And the next thing you know, man, you're out of fellowship with the Holy God. We love pleasures more than we love God. And we got these little puny cop-outs. And I call it puny cop-outs. God won't save me. You're a liar, just like your father. You're a bald-faced liar. God will save anybody that's wanting to be saved.
Amen.
I'm telling you, God will save sinners. God won't save me. You're a liar.
Amen.
God will save. Amen. Problem is, you ain't willing to give up in pleasures.
Amen.
You ain't willing to come out of that darkness. Amen. You ain't willing to be obedient to God. That's what we ought to say. Well, I just don't want to be saved yet. I mean, there's a little something there, but it ain't there yet. I would feel free to say that almost everybody sitting in this building within a reasonable age has been dealt with by the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
Right.
I can remember being just a boy listening to Oliver Green.
Amen.
And the Holy Ghost dealing with me as a little boy. I believe that there's people sitting in this building, ladies and gentlemen, and the Holy Ghost has pricked you in the heart as he did Saul and said, why kickest thou against the pricks? That's the Holy Ghost piercing your heart and letting you know that you're guilty before God. And I believe that very same person sitting in this building has turned away from God and rebelled against the voice and disobeyed the Holy Ghost. And you're sitting here tonight. A result of your disobedience to God's Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Right. You're where you are tonight because you've disobeyed God. You're where you are tonight. You've heard His voice. You've felt the conviction in your heart. The Lord has drawn you. Christ has been lifted up. And you've rejected and you've refused, and you sit here tonight in a mental torment, wanting to be just saved and not being drawn to Jesus, and you wonder what's going on. Maybe it's because of the disobedience.
Yeah.
Like what the preacher said this morning, I'll laugh at your calamities. It's God's turn to laugh. Mm-hmm. It's God's turn to laugh at some of this stuff. I want to look briefly at this thought. Think about Elimelech. God sent a famine in the land down in Bethlehem, Judah. And Elimelech wasn't willing to repent. Elimelech took his family, his wife, and his kids, and they headed out to the world. We know Moab to be a type of the world. They headed out to Moab. And the Bible said they went out there to sojourn in Moab. So instead of that man repenting and getting right with God, he took his wife and his children to Moab, and he gave up his life and lost the life of his children and left his wife sitting over there. I'm tempted to say that he could have got right with God and probably been all right. I'm tempted to say that if he had got right with God, he probably wouldn't have lost what he lost. And that's what I want to look at tonight. The cost of disobeying God. Or maybe, you know, just a common phrase that you can get what you want, but you're going to lose what you have. God will give you what you want, but you're going to lose what you have. And we can testify in here all night long of people we've seen this stuff. These folks were from Bethlehem, Judah, and it says that they were sojourning. Hey, listen, that word sojourning just means that they're going to be there for a little while. They weren't going to stay there. They was just passing through. They come to get them a few things from the world. And the next thing you know, they're hunkered down, and this man dies, and his children dies after they took wives. Hey, listen, friend, it don't take long in Moab to cost you. Moab don't take long. It doesn't take long at all to get out there in this world and to get some junk on you, to get some scars in your life and some baggage in your life. It don't take no time. You say, man, I'm just sojourning. I say, you might sojourn. You might get to pass through this world, but I'm telling you, you're going to pick some junk up on you that you'll never get rid of.
Amen.
It's going to cost you. Moab will cost you. Moab's going to cost you, friend. That wickedness, that wicked life is going to cost you. It comes with a price. As we sit in here tonight and enjoy the good fellowship of one another, thank God for these good brothers and, you know, even the church members. Man, I thank God for the good folks in this church and our congregation that came up and but Brother John, as we sit in here tonight, just 1 week ago, my cousin lost his wife to fentanyl. And I'm talking about pretty young, man, at least 10, 12 years younger than what I am. And there they sit in our church, and man, I'd preach to them and pray for them, and they would ask me questions from time to time, and I'd try to tell them the truth and beg them to stay in the house of God. And they was even sitting in there one Sunday when old Brother Donnie Harvey passed by, and Brother Donnie Harvey preached with the power of God. And I mean, son, he preached right down their alley, and I ain't picking on, but he preached right down their alley. Just a couple of years from there, we buried the daddy from a heroin overdose. The boy broke down and began to talk to me. And I talked to him. But they never could get it right. And there this woman is. And I don't have my phone on me, but I got an article on my phone. She got what she wanted. But sitting down there in North Carolina tonight is a lovely little boy. I love him. Sitting down there in North Carolina tonight is a beautiful, I ain't telling no blonde hair, blue eyed, silly story. I'm telling you, a beautiful little girl. Absolutely beautiful. And I had to sit there yesterday and read that letter she wrote her mama, because that mama got what she wanted, lost what she had. And that little girl sitting in there writing love letters to her mama that's dead in hell today. I said, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about this woman was fairly young, but she was just going to sojourn through Moab, you hear? She wanted what Moab had. She come to the house of God, wouldn't submit to the voice of God, wouldn't obey the voice of God, would not take heed to the voice of God, and said, I'm just going to sojourn for a while out there in this old world. And she got her some fentanyl and mixed it with some other stuff. And I'm telling you, she got exactly what she wanted. But there sits her little family, and she lost what she had.
Yes.
No harm, is it? Seems innocent. I seen her get two DUIs on two separate occasions, driving and drinking and driving, slapped, drunk, with them little kids in the car. Lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. What's it gonna take? What does it take, ladies and gentlemen? Hey, listen, man, we've so grieved the Holy Ghost of God today. I'm not talking about in the streets. I'm talking about in our homes and in our lives and in our churches. We've so grieved the Holy Ghost. We've quenched the Spirit so much today. It's hard to see Him do anything and stir anybody. It's hard to see many people awaken today because the Holy Ghost just ain't, the Spirit of God just ain't stirred like He used to. Why? Because we got what we wanted. We've lost what we've had. It ain't always been like this. Number two, you got Adam and Eve sitting over in the Garden of Eden in a perfect environment, no sin, no suffering, no pain, no sorrows. And yet the serpent that was more subtle than any beast of the field at that time, thank you, sir, he showed up. And he got them to eat. They got what they want. But here they are, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if you can understand it, but here they are. I don't fully understand it. I ain't got talking down to you. But here's this man and this woman in this perfect environment, sinless. No sin. Perfect harmony. Perfect unity. Perfect fellowship. Walking in the cool of the day with God in the midst of the garden. Here come the devil. And they partook, disobeyed God. They got what they wanted. God showed back up out there. They partook of that forbidden tree. God showed back up out there and said, Adam, where art thou? Adam was hiding out there. Him and his wife knew they were naked. You know the story? Knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and God called them out on it. And from that time on, ladies and gentlemen, God drove them out of the Garden of Eden. God drove them out of the Garden of Eden, and never did he walk with God again.
Right.
In the cool of the day. He lost his fellowship. Now, I don't know if any of y'all understand, but one of the worst things in this world a person can do as a child of God is break fellowship with his Father.
Yes, yes it is. Come on, amen.
I mean, it's a horrible thing, man. It's a horrible thing to give in to this flesh, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. And that's about all we have to be faced with. That's all they was faced with from the very beginning. But that's enough to kick all of our backside from here to eternity.
Right.
And I'm telling you, friend, we give in to this stuff. And it seems like, man, it's so innocent. It's so harmless. Man, what's this going to hurt? Won't nobody ever know it but me? It ain't going to affect nobody else. And as soon as you give in to that lust, I'm telling you, the fellowship will be broke with God.
Right.
Now go home and be a Christian mom and a Christian daddy and a Christian period on the job without fellowship with God.
Mm-hmm.
I like them old timey songs, hand in hand with Jesus we walk each day.
Amen.
Hand in hand we ain't nothing like walking hand in hand with Jesus, is
that's
it?
Right. That's right.
Ain't nothing in this world like being right with God, son. Ain't nothing in this world like being in fellowship with your Father. Hey, man, I'm glad, thank God, when we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father. I'm glad every once in a while that I can crawl up in that. Hey, I don't go boldly with that sin's in my life. No, I kind of tiptoe around. And thank God, I got this great mediator between me and God. And it gets God's attention and says, hey, here's my servant. He's messed up.
obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Friend, I can cuddle back up with my Father.
Right.
I can have fellowship with Him. Everything is clear now.
Amen.
God.
Or you can just live in your sin and lose the fellowship with God. Thank you, sir. You're walking with God. You're full of the Holy Ghost. You stay grieved about most of the time in this whole world. I tell you, the closer you get to God, the more your heart hurts.
Right. Right.
Closer you get to God, the more you cry.
Yes, sir.
Suffering. I wouldn't trade nothing for it. Wouldn't trade nothing for my fellowship with my Father. Prodigal son said to his daddy, give me. And his father went in there and divided up the spoil. He gave it to his son, and the Bible says that after many days, he gathered all together. Boy, his daddy must have loaded him up. Because he wasn't quick. It took him many days to gather them all together. The Bible says he set out for a far country. I mean, son, this boy was sitting at a house where his daddy was making provisions, his daddy was taking care of him, his daddy was putting a roof over his head, and thank you, honey. He got exactly what he wanted.
Yep.
He got exactly what he wanted.
Yes, sir.
Boy, he's seen them wild asses colts sitting up there on the hill. He's sitting down there at his daddy's house, and he's looking up there on the hillside. He sees that bunch of wild asses colts. Boy, they're having a time. They're running wild. You hear? Son, they kicking up their heels, having a big time. Ain't nobody got no restrictions on them. Ain't no rules. They ain't no real authority in their life. They just get to romp and roar up there, do anything they want to do. And it just looks, sitting down there from the father's house, man, it looks so appealing. Looks like they got all the liberty in the world, man. I tell you what, to do what they want to do. And I can remember being a boy growing up in my home, and we had rules, and we had a tough, you know, we had a tough mama that would, you know, just bust you upside the head with something, and thank God she would. But I can remember going and listening to my buddies, and I can remember watching the wild asses colts as they run in this old world. And man, they seem to have so much fun. And there I was bound. And I'll get in the car. We're going to church Wednesday night. And man, I got to watch the wild asses colts just not have to go to church on Wednesday night. And I'll get in the car. It's vacation time. We're going down to Faith Baptist Camp this week. It's where we spend our vacation. Man, I'd have to load up in them cars and head off down to Georgia by the wild asses. His coach was running wild, going to the beach. I mean, son, having good times, doing whatever they wanted. And I'm telling you, friend, I got buddies today. Them bunch of wild asses coach. They're all in a jailhouse. They're all in a prison house. They're all in a dope house. How they dwell in the whore's house. How they got all kind of diseases. How they got all kind of fees and fines. Troubles!
Yes, yes, sir.
So how you know? Because I wanted what they had. I wanted what they had. And I went out there with them. And I kicked up my heels.
Amen, bro. Amen.
And I brought a reproach on the name of my family's name. And I brought a reproach on Hope Baptist Tabernacle where I grew up in church. I brought a reproach on Brother Sammy Allen that preached the gospel into my life week in and week out, year after year. And I brought a reproach on, hey man, I'm telling you, friend, I'm trying to avoid telling you some of the details and just tell you that I brought a reproach. And I'm telling you what a shame it brought to me in my life. But I got what I wanted. Got exactly what I wanted. I wanted to run with the Colts. That prodigal son got down in that hog pen, run out of food. So he would fain fill his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. Girls, he got down there and got to telling himself a lie, just like we do. Boy, these husks are good. This is not bad. Ain't nothing good about a husk. You can lie to yourself all you want to and try to convince yourself. But I tell you, by the time he tried to choke some of them things down, he said, dear God, right. I got to get back to my father's house. Mm-hmm. And I noticed this. He went back down there to the father's house, and the father said, get a robe, get a ring, kill a fatty calf, and get some shoes, and we're going to do all this. And I got to thinking about it. Maybe, you know, it took him many days to load up all that he took to go on this journey. But do you understand, when he came home barefooted.
Right.
He didn't leave that way. No. The world stripped him. Yep. It didn't take him a long time out there in that hog pen to gather all together, friend. All he had to do was just get up out of that hog pen. Everything was already gone. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about he got exactly what he wanted, but he lost everything that he had. Right. I never did read another place in that Bible where his daddy gave him another dime.
Right.
He did give him some monetary things, you know, shoes and rings and stuff like that. And they had a big shindig out there one night. But I wonder how many of the blessings of his father that he squandered out there chasing what he wanted. I wonder how many of the things of God were squandered in our life today because we're chasing something that we want. How many of the blessings of God are we forfeiting out of our life? And how many good things of God are we forfeiting out of our life? And how much of a relationship are we forfeiting out of our life because we're chasing this world or some kind of a dream or some kind of an ambition or some kind of lust of the flesh or some kind of lust of the eyes? I mean, just something besides God. And we're losing things that God has in store for
us.
Sir.
Yes, amen.
And all the while, we're picking up all this scars and memories. You can't erase them memories. You can't erase that stupid stuff out of your brain.
That's right. Right.
God, how I wish sometimes that I could just get some of that stuff gone forever.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Thank God for a good daddy that made provision for this boy. You know what I got to thinking about when I seen this? I seen him come back home, and it made me think of Naomi, where Naomi said, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. She said, the Lord dealt me very bitterly. She said, I went out full, and I came home empty. The Lord had dealt very bitterly with me. I tell you one thing, Buddy Rowe, you might hit the road full of yourself, full of your ideas, full of your ways, just full. But I can promise you one thing. When it's all said and done, you're going to be empty.
Yeah, right.
You're going to be empty. You're going to end up on the bottom. You know what I think this old boy found out over in the hog pen? I think he found out that the high life was for the low life.
Right.
Man, I think that's what he found out. He said, I'm going to return and go back to my father. I'm going to get back over there to them rules and them regulations. I'm going to get back over there to that love of my father. I'm going to get back over there where, that safety and that protection and them blessings was in my life. What in the name of God was wrong with me? What kind of fool have I been? How to think that I can't wait to get, 18 years old, I can't wait to get out of this house. I tell you what, there's a dog-eat-dog world out there. And by the time it smacks you right in the mouth, you'll wish to God you was back at home with your mom and daddy. Amen, son. I'm telling you, them little old rude awaiting, them little old cocky punks, and I ain't trying to be ugly. I can't wait to get out of this house. I would help my youngin' get out of that house in them circumstances. Here, let me help you, son. You don't like my food, you don't like my money, you don't like my roof, let me help you. And I don't believe in kicking children out of the house. I believe in doing everything you can to salvage them.
Amen.
Man. Talk about Judas Iscariot. What a greater example than Judas Iscariot. Gotta hurry. Judas Iscariot rubbed shoulders with Jesus. He lay down over there on the roadside and take a nap with Jesus. He sat at the table and break bread with Jesus. I mean, you heard that old saying, and I know this is carnal, but rubbing shoulders with Jesus. He rubbed shoulders with Jesus. I mean, the Son of God. God in the flesh. And Judas said, you know what? I want to make some money. I'd rather have money than Jesus. You know, I meet young people, I've sat and watched leave the church because they got a career. And they could even go off and be successful. They could go make six digits or whatever it is they're after. But you're still going to end up empty.
Yes, brother.
Why can't you have six digits with Jesus at the center point of your life? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with being faithful to the house of God and being faithful to your Bible and being faithful to your prayer closet?
Yes.
And having a job? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with having a job in Jesus and having Jesus and a wife and having Jesus and a family and Jesus and a career? And what's wrong with that? What's wrong with Jesus? I'm telling you, man, we sell out Jesus and just let Jesus go. Hey, I want the world's money. I'm telling you, Judas Iscariot said, I'd want me 30 pieces of silver. And he got exactly what he wanted. But he hung in a tree till his guts gushed out. And his soul went to its own place.
Yes, sir.
And I can promise you one thing, he died without God. It's a place of torment.
Yeah.
That place is a place of torment. Judas Iscariot ain't down there waiting on the day to come out as Antichrist. That's God. He's in a place of torment too.
Right.
And I do believe that he is the son of perdition. If I believe my Bible. I can remember, and I'm only 53 years old, but I can remember a time where God was, people would go and it was desirous of people to see the manifestation of God in a church. And God wanted to show up and God wanted to magnify and be manifested and be magnified and glorified. And God wanted to, I mean, you know, listen, can I just be me for a second? God just kind of wanted to show up and throw his weight around a little bit. And I kind of like it when God shows up and throws his weight around. I kind of like it when the King of Kings shows up and flexes his muscles a little bit. I kind of like it, praise God, when he just kind of blinks at us a little bit and his lips begin to move and his fingers begins to wiggle in my life. I just like it when God shows up. And I can remember as a 53-year-old man being able to go to church at any given time and see the manifestations of God. I can remember God passing by. I can remember the glory of God passing by. I can remember sinners weeping to God. I can remember saints worshiping His Spirit. I can't tell you the last time I've been in a service where it was overtaken by Him. I'm talking about worship. Overtaken by Him. We're still in America. We still got a King James Bible.
Right.
Amen. We still got Bible preachers. And when's the last time y'all got in a service where He got bigger than everything and everybody there? Hey, and that woman that don't shout began to squeal.
Right, right.
That woman that never peeped a sound began to squeal. When's the last time you've been in one of them? I ain't trying to pump nothing. I'm just telling you things. We've got what we want and we've lost what we've had.
Right.
I can remember sitting on the pew back there, and y'all please excuse me, but I sat and I was dirty, I was mad, I got off work late and I was mad. I'm just mad. I come home, and I was nasty, and I was mad at everything in the world for being late to church. And so I got to the house of God, and I sat on the very back pew because I stunk, and I was nasty, and I tried to stay away from everything. And I sat up on the back of the pew so I could see, because Brother Taylor said I was little. And I had to sit behind Ricky Black Jr. last night. I got a crick in my neck. I seen that back door open, Miss Stephanie, and the glory of God entered the building. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting there nasty and dirty and stinky, and the glory of God showed up that night.
I watched as the glory of God made its way through the congregation. You say, that's mystical. You believe whatever you want to. I was there.
That's one of our problems today. We don't believe nothing about God.
Right?
Yeah. I seen that glory, that Shekinah glory of God coming right down through this aisle. And I began to watch people as they fell out of their pews. I ain't talking about Benny Hinn junk. I'm talking about God stuff. Mm-hmm. I watched people fall out of their pews. I seen people fall in that altar. I've seen people weeping and begging God for their children and their families and their friends and their neighbors and begging God just to do something in their life. And then that next thing you know, and I just kind of sitting there being sensitive, being real still. And the next thing you know, I started seeing children coming in off the street from 5 miles down the road. Hitting them back doors, running in them altars, begging God to save them. This was in America, you understand? This was when I was a young man. It wasn't that long ago that I used to see God move in places and God would be able to go down into the town and drag people's children off the streets and smite their heart and drive them to a church house and then run to an altar and cry themselves to God. I've seen God move. Right. What's the last time you seen it? I'm afraid we got what we wanted. So, preacher, what we wanted? Well, we've endorsed perverts of every kind today. Maybe not us crowded here, but you know, as a whole. And we've covered up more scams and perversion and wickedness and I think stuff ought to be brought to the light. I think God ought to be able to shine the light on it and deal with it for what it is. And the only way we're going to ever get to God, ladies and gentlemen, is to be open and honest with God and to come clean with God and to just be real honest with the Holy God. And God can help us.
Amen.
Amen.
You don't need to tell me. I don't need to know people's stuff. I don't want to know people's stuff. But you need to be honest with God. We got this, and I know I'm preaching to the wrong crowd. The folks, music is important.
Yes, sir. Yes, amen.
Them songs that we sing, they really are important.
Right.
They're not weird songs. They're not odd songs. They're holy songs. They were some real people that lived for God. God inspired and touched them and gave them lyrics to these songs. There's men, a lot of them sit there, and even ladies sit there and suffered and went through things and trials and troubles, and they wrote things about the love of the Lord Jesus in them songs. And you know what happens to me a lot of times, and I tell my congregation this all the time, and I can be sitting there in the house of God, and we get to singing one of them.
Amen.
We get to singing one of them old songs, and from another world, there's a call. My heart.
Yes.
And it's deep calling unto deep in my heart.
Oh, amen.
And the Holy Ghost starts doing jumping jacks in my soul.
Right. Come on.
And Jesus starts doing cartwheels. And I mean, son, God gets bigger than me sometimes. It just gets real good. That, oh my God, that God could die for me. That God could love me. And what could wash away my sins?
Yes.
And there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus.
Right.
And deep calls on the deep. But you can't get that much anymore. Just don't trade off our music.
Amen, brother.
For
amen.
Popularity, for a fella coming to my church, it's been a couple years ago, and you know, he needed the Lord Jesus Christ, and I was very gracious in that area, and we sung him old songs, and I knew he didn't like them songs. And I wanted him to keep coming to the church. You know, you don't want to lose people. I'm not that preacher that likes to see people's hinder parts. I like to see people coming, not going. And So, you know, you try to be politically correct or whatever, handle stuff with kids' gloves or whatever it is. And he said, be all right if I take over some of the music. And I said, why, sure, that'd be a wonderful thing. But you're going to sing every song out of that book. We're not.
Amen. Amen. Come on.
I said, as long as you sing every song out of that book. I never heard nothing about it. He ain't been back. I lost him just with that. Lost him. I didn't want to give the world that foothold.
Amen.
In that music. That's it, right. Is a bridge. Hey, young folks, it is a bridge into your life. And some of the most popular preachers in America today has got a different melody instead of music tagged onto their ministry, and the Spirit of God is being grieved, and we wonder why people ain't getting what they used to get, because we've changed some things. We got what we want.
Yeah.
Turn with me and I'll quit. And I'm not lying about this. I knew that I was going to pull a Liz Taylor on y'all tonight and not keep you long. Luke chapter 17. Only the grandma generation even understood what I just said. I heard a few of them laugh. It don't have to be bad, is what I'm trying to get at. It came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and he entered into a certain village. There met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And I like that. He had to be redneck. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering, said, where were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.
Amen.
Folks, it ain't all bad. It ain't all bad. I tell you what I do believe. I believe wickedness has crept in our lives. I believe wickedness lies within my congregation. I believe wickedness lies within my heart many times. I believe wickedness lies within... Preacher, what kills a meeting? Wickedness. Uncleanness. God is not going to mix himself where there is uncleanness. What's wrong with a meeting? What's wrong with a meeting? Why ain't God stirring? Why ain't God moving? Why ain't there of the Holy Ghost? God don't mix with uncleanness.
Amen. Amen.
We're going to get clean. We're going to get clean to get God.
Yes.
But it takes clean. God don't mix with a bunch of filth. You hear me? God is into cleaning up the filth business, buddy. If we want to see him move, hey, listen, it ain't all bad. I'm glad it don't have to end in Moab. I'm glad it don't have to end in the graveyard. But ladies and gentlemen, you can come to Jesus today. You can come to Calvary, and you can lose what you have and get what you need.
Amen. Amen, brother. That's good. Yes. Amen.
Brother Asquith, I think about some of the people in the church. When I saw Miss Jody last year, I went, man, Miss Jody just looks saved. I seen her sitting over there, and I said, Brother John, that woman just looks saved. And I think about this real sweet woman sitting right back over here. They used to be down in the kitchen pulling hair out and stuff. And I liked her before I ever even met her, Brother Taylor. Because my son told me, he said, Dad, I went up there and preached. He said, this woman sitting up on the second row cussed me. And I went, man, I don't know her, but I like her. He said, I'm talking about right there in the church. I said, hey, stop. You already had me, son. I like her. you know, you and her are some of the latest people I've seen get saved. And ain't you glad, thank God, in a world that you ain't supposed to be glad in, that it don't have to end bad.
Right. Right. Amen, brother.
I'm glad, thank God, you can go to Calvary and lose all the guilt, the stouts.
Yes.
I'm glad, thank God, I can go to Calvary and be healed. There's a bomb in Gilead, ladies and gentlemen.
Sir.
It don't always have to be bad. It ain't all doom and gloom. But I'm telling you, Jesus Christ loves sinners. And I'm telling you, he came to save sinners. And if you just get to Calvary, you can take all your guilt and all your stains. And I'm telling you, the blood of Jesus Christ really does go deeper than the stains of sin.
Amen.
So,
amen.
There's some good things about it. Thought about just praising the Lord for being saved. Mm-hmm. Amen. It do us good, ladies and gentlemen, just to praise the Lord for being saved.
Amen.
Ain't you glad you ain't down in the kitchen fighting no more?
Amen.
Ain't you glad, thank God, that he changed you, took that old hateful attitude? Ain't you glad that he took that old foul vocabulary? Ain't you glad, thank God, that he took that misery? Ain't you glad that he put some peace? He put peace, thank God, where misery used to flow. He put joy in there where misery used to flow. He put happiness in there where misery used to flow. I'm telling you, thank God, you can get to Jesus, and he can give you what you need, and you can lose some of the junk you got.
Yes. Amen.
Thank God for that. Dying thief, rejoice to see. Just an old malefactor. Just an old thug. Probably was in some of the protests going around Jerusalem. Probably busted somebody's store windows out, setting some fires. Lord, remember me in coming to your kingdom.
Yes.
Today shalt thou be with me in paradise.
Hey, hey. Come on.
And there may I, though vile as
hell,
wash all my sins away.
Amen.
Hey, what about it? Jesus! Jesus, hush. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.
Amen. That's right.
I'm glad when Jesus passed by, he was able to give up that blindness.
Yes.
Gain sight.
Amen.
Brother Lou read John 9:1 a while ago. That man got what he needed and lost his blindness. You know what we need today? We need to get to God.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't care what you got. I've always said there's not a sinner too lost or a sin too big that the blood of Jesus can't take care of.
Amen.
Power, wonder-working power in the blood.
Yes.
Man. Or you can get what you want. If that ain't what you want, you can get what you want. The question is, and I'm done, what do you want? What is it you want?
That's good. Good preaching. Amen.
Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir.
Praise God.
He took me.